What happens when unresolved guilt meets divine providence? In Genesis 42 through 45, Joseph's brothers bow before him, unaware he's the brother that they betrayed. As Joseph tests their repentance and loyalty, God's plan for restoration unfolds. Can guilt turn into genuine repentance? Will Joseph's forgiveness be enough to heal the years of betrayal? This episode dives into the power of a revived conscience and the beauty of redemption.
Well, in our last wisdom journey, we saw that Joseph's brothers have come to Egypt to buy grain during the famine, and they don't recognize Egypt's new prime minister. But Joseph recognized them and immediately begins testing them. He's probing to discern their attitude toward their father Jacob and their own conscience in selling him into slavery some 20 years earlier, and have their consciences ever been bothering them? Now, when Joseph accuses them of being spies, they responded in Genesis chapter 42, here and at verse 13. "We are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is no more." And Joseph's probably thinking, well, is that so? Well, after holding them in prison for a few days, Joseph allows 9 of his brothers to return home with the instructions to come back to Egypt with their little brother, Benjamin, to prove they were telling the truth and release Simeon from jail. Now, in verse 27, they discover when they get home that the money they've used to buy grain is inside their bags, and they panic. I mean, now what do they do? They look at each other and they cry out in terror. In fact, here in verse 28, "What is this that God has done to us?" I mean, imagine, Simeon is being held hostage until they return to Egypt. Benjamin has to be brought back to Egypt, or Simeon can't get out of jail. He's going to rot in jail. And now it looks like they've stolen the grain. All their lives, frankly, are in danger. When the brothers tell their father what happened, Jacob lashes out at them here in verse 36, and he says to them, "You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me." Jacob, now he's had flashes of faith, but here he's become a faithless man again. Well, the circumstances, they outweigh his confidence that God is in control. Frankly, I think we're a lot like Jacob. One of the most repeated mistakes that we make is to interpret the troubling events of our lives to mean that God doesn't care. Life is a dead end. We're all alone. Well, Jacob isn't at a dead end, is he? He's really in a cul-de-sac, and God is using all these circumstances to turn his life around like he isn't going to be able to imagine. Now, God has already promised to bless Jacob, to provide for him, to give him children, to multiply his family into a great nation, a nation from whom the Savior, the Messiah, will come. Now, these are some pretty big promises. God has made some pretty big promises to you, too. He has said to you and me, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. He promises to exalt you if you humble yourself. He's promised that if you cast all your anxieties on him, that he cares about you, 1 Peter 5. Now, as we move into chapter 43 of Genesis, the famine is growing worse. The grain of those boys that they got down in Egypt, that's running out. And Jacob insists now that his sons go back to Egypt and buy more grain. But Judah reminds his dad, "Well, Dad, we can't go back there without Benjamin. Oh, if we do, Simeon is going to die in that Egyptian prison." then Jacob musters up what I believe to be one of the most amazing statements of faith in his life. Here in verse 13, we read, "Take your brother and arise, go again to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. As for me, if I am bereaved of my children, well, I am bereaved." In other words, it's in the hands of God Almighty. In fact, he uses the name for God. The name he chooses is El Shaddai. That is, he is the great provider. See, Jacob is backed into a corner, yet he makes up his mind to trust El Shaddai, essentially saying, "Only my great God can get us all out of this mess." Now, when Jacob's sons arrive back in Egypt, chapter 43 and verse 16 tells us that they are immediately taken to Joseph's house by Joseph's steward. Now he evidently knows the Hebrew language. He's bilingual. And the brothers explained to him that they had no idea all that money had ended up, you know, back in their sacks, and they had nothing to do with it. In fact, he tells them, "Don't be afraid." He gives them water to wash up from their long journey because they're going to eat dinner, he tells them, that night in the home of the prime minister. I can't imagine, you know, what they must have been thinking now. Their heads are spinning. Well, Joseph comes home and his brothers bow down before him. Again, remind you of Joseph's earlier dream. But when Joseph sees his younger brother, Benjamin, Joseph is overwhelmed. This is his blood brother, the only other son from his mother, Rachel. And all Joseph can get out of his mouth, and it seems that he speaks to Benjamin, in fact, in Hebrew, here in verse 29. He says, "God be gracious to you, my son." And with that, Joseph runs out of the room to weep. Now, why weep? Well, I would assume that he's overwhelmed with 20 years of loss. He hadn't chosen Egypt to begin with, but he'd stayed there because somewhere between that prison cell and the office of prime minister, God had made it very clear to him, "Joseph, I brought you here. This is my will for your life because I'm going to save your family and the future nation of Israel from starvation because I'm going to make sure my promises come true." You know, this is a good reminder that the will of God often includes difficulty and pain and even tears. Well, chapter 44 now opens, the text does, with the brothers preparing now to return home with more grain. But Joseph has one more test up his sleeve. He wants to know if they will abandon Benjamin like they abandoned him. So, he has his special silver cup secretly placed in Benjamin's sack of grain. Now, in verse 6 here, the servant catches up with them and accuses them of stealing the cup. Well, obviously, they deny the charge and even insist that whoever the thief is, they ought to be put to death. And to their horror, verse 12 says, "And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack." Well, instead of leaving Benjamin behind and running for their lives, they all return to Joseph, and Judah makes a plea for mercy that reveals their hearts have been changed over these many years. Verse 16 tells us, "What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? How can we clear ourselves? God has found out the guilt of your servants." He goes on to remind Joseph here in verse 20 that we have a father, an old man, and a young brother, the child of his old age. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother's children. And his father loves him. Did you catch it? There's no jealousy now over their youngest brother. Judah pleads with Joseph here in verse 33. please let me remain instead of the boy as your slave, and let the boy go back with his brothers. And with this final proof, Joseph starts crying so loudly, his weeping is heard all throughout the palace. But then he stuns his brothers in chapter 45 and verse 3 by telling them, "I am Joseph." Wow, they're speechless. Joseph goes on to tell his brothers in verse 3, "Do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. God sent me to preserve for you a remnant on earth. It was not you who sent me here, but God." Wow, what do you know? All these things weren't against Jacob. They were all for Jacob and his family. It just took 20 years to find out. You know, I wonder what God is doing in your life. You may not know it yet. There may be many unanswered questions. There may be many unexplainable trials, but He is for you as well. El Shaddai, God Almighty. He has plans for you. He's made promises to you. He has a future for you. Perhaps your greatest statement of faith right now is that you believe that and you will trust the Lord today. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Joseph's journey shows how God works through broken relationships to restore hearts, trusting God's timing and His ability to bring redemption. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called The Brothers' Reunion. Learn more about our ministry by visiting wisdomonline.org. If you'd like to speak with us, our phone number is 866-48-BIBLE or 866-482-4253. We're in the office on weekdays, and we'd be very glad to speak with you. Do that today, then join us back here next time to continue this wisdom journey through the Bible.